A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. If you missed our conversation with OC, I always love having OC on the program, Scott. He has a very level-headed look about things, but I think he also is, I think he recognizes what a lot of people do. Man, these Utes look tough. And it's going to be a really good year for him. And it is going to be nice not to have to talk anything about alignment stuff during the season. Even when alignment stuff starts to break, I think, during the year, I mean, you'll get the big news, but then we have this weekly, these weekly football games that are the that are going to always be way more important, at least for us, right? Where you're like, just please get me to the football so we can be, I just need a distraction.
Well, and that's what the focus should be on really at this point is the season and how this all shakes out. And there's a lot to be excited about here in the state of Utah. And really, I think across the country, I mean, college football's got a lot of exciting things going on. So, you know, if you're a fan of college football, it should be a really good year. What you have is you've got kind of in every conference, the Pac-12, it's three teams, Oregon, Utah, USC.
Right.
But maybe there's a team lurking like UCLA. And those three teams are going to be pretty good. And then you look at every conference, you know, every conference is going to have a lot of serious contenders. You have Oklahoma, Texas, Baylor, Oklahoma State. You have Ohio State, Michigan, maybe Wisconsin, maybe Penn State. You have, of course, the SEC, and we'll just say Paul Feinbaum decides that the whole SEC is a contender, except for Vanderbilt. No offense, but nobody wants to see Vanderbilt playing in the college football
playoffs. Vanderbilt.
It's Vanderbilt.
Well, but did you see that Kentucky's quarterback, that Will Levis guy? He's got better odds to win the Heisman Trophy, according to Vegas odds makers, than Cam Rising does even.
And what happens at the ACC? You know, does Clemson come back?
No idea.
Does Miami emerge? Does it? You know, is it a year away?
Does Notre Dame get convinced?
Yeah.
You know, to maybe stick around with the ACC somewhere.
I don't think Notre Dame is going to go to any conference. I really don't.
After yesterday's conversation of like them being like, we're satisfied with our current setup.
Yeah.
And you're like, geez, I guess you don't want $70 extra million a year.
They're the nation's football team. That's what they are.
That's annoying. Hey, just
who
like
plays
they,
in iconic places,
you know what?
Like Lambeau Field. I mean, okay. That's where Notre Dame belongs.
Where did our poll end up, by the way? I think it was like 50-50, right?
It's a 50-50 poll.
It was really bad. I was in the lead for a long time. I don't even, you know what? I could break the tie. I didn't vote.
Neither did I.
Oh, okay, shoot. Then we just canceled each other.
We'll get your buddy Mitch Harper to chime in.
Well, Mitch had the most. Look, Mitch just made sense.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did because he asked
one
the
of you
question.
Made
he goes,
sense.
He did. He goes, well, Scott, where did it move?
I just want to see him on a campus.
He goes, Scott, did it move the needle for you when Wisconsin played LSU there?
But Wisconsin is not Notre Dame.
Yeah, but you're not going to watch Notre Dame. You're not going to watch Notre Dame at Lambeau Field.
You're not. I'm not. But all the people that love Notre Dame and appreciate Notre Dame across this entire country, all these people that appreciate this institution that is Notre Dame.
So Notre Dame is the Dallas Cowboys of
1,000%. 1,000%.
Like, hasn't had a lot of success recently.
No. And
but the brand is always bigger than the team. I mean, yes. The brand is bigger than the performance.
And it's a nationwide brand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and the Cowboys shoot there even in Mexico.
I went to a Cowboy game.
And apparently the Irish are in Ireland, too.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got an international following.
What I think is funny about that is, do you think Irish people are like, this is our team? They're coming over. They're going to play.
You're
like,
yes, I do.
Honey, break out the Guinness. We got the fighting Irish coming over. Back to back home.
You watch
dear.
The Dairy Girls. Come on. Anything from America that shows up there is a big deal.
No, but here's the thing about, what was I saying? Well, I was watching, what did I even say? I can't remember. I was watching something and it reminded me of something. So there you go.
The Dairy Girls?
No. I got on this kick, but I did want to bring up. You know I'm on the forefront of looking for wild stadium food.
Okay.
And you don't get crazy stadium food in, like, Los Angeles. You're going to get, like, the hot – you're going to get the Dodger Dog
it's
and,
cheesy.
Like, some, whatever. Fine. Seattle, up at the Mariner Stadium when I was a kid, they busted out, like, real gourmet stuff. They had, like, real sushi made right there, all that. The Kansas City Royals – have broken out a barbecue sandwich on a brioche bun, which is great, right? And you go, okay, that's fine. I think they're home of like, what's that place? Anyway, there's a barbecue place there in Kansas City. It's pretty famous. I think the barbecue they provide the barbecue. But here's the kick. They put 2 Reese's peanut butter cups on it. On this barbecue sandwich. Yes. You get it at Royal Stadium. Okay. Pulled pork sandwich. Doused in barbecue sauce, and then before they put the bun on top, they put 2 Reese's peanut butter cups on top of it.
That sounds like me as a boy.
Just trying stuff out?
In the pantry.
Yeah. There's just I'm all about it, man. I freaking love it. I mean, I wouldn't eat it, but I just like the idea of other people eating it.
Here, you have to wonder if the sweet between the barbecue sauce and the Reese's kind of
is too much?
Competes or too much.
Well... Yeah, so maybe that's a more vinegar-based, sauce situation. Yeah. And then you got it kind of cutting through that chocolatiness.
Vinegar, sweet, and chocolate. I don't know.
Yeah. Look, I'd try it. You only live once. You only live once, and if you eat this, you'll only live once for a very short
time. Well, it's one of those things where a Reese's peanut butter cup is always good.
Yes.
You know, and it's like... Well, we can just put it on anything.
I think you and I agree. That's both our number one, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By far.
It's not even close.
All right.
But I think they might have gone too far with this.
They've actually offended you somehow. Yeah, a little bit. You know what? I mean, appreciate it. It's like, you know, when people send hate mail, they're like, I appreciated that, but you guys went too far with that segment. Now you've turned into that guy. Excuse me, Mr. Reese's. Mr. Reese.
I'll be calling in. Look, I'm a longtime follower and believer in Reese's, but you've just gone too far on
this.
It's like
when the guy called the Jimmy Dean sausage place.
Whatever happened to your 16
ounce? The 16 ounce went away. And I tell you, I can't feed. I got a big gal here at home. I got my daughter who's 210 pounds.
He's just like, there's three men in the
three
house.
Three men
here.
In the house. You think I can feed 5 large, gosh dang people?
I mean, I got steak and I got eggs, but I don't have enough sausage.
I've enjoyed your sausage. I've enjoyed it for a long time, but I cannot abide a 12-ounce packet of sausage. And then he leaves his phone on. And he starts cussing at his wife about it. Gosh dang it! He starts getting all mad. All right.
Back to the barbecue sandwich. Yeah,
okay. Good. Back to the good stuff.
I will try it.
Oh yeah.
I actually want to go. Invent it, like just like try an experiment to go. Okay, that's what it tastes
well,
like.
Well, listen, Aramark,
I just want to know what it tastes like.
So the largest concessions company in the country is Aramark, and they are it's like a $13 billion company. They're basically like every concessions across anything that means anything in these big stadiums. Everything they have almost all the contracts, and so it's one of their. It's one of their, you know, inventions. They find out what's local and they try to coordinate with them and say, hey, what could we do here, right? It's like getting together with J Dogs and trying to figure it out at the Jazz games and stuff. So they get in there. Obviously, they workshopped this thing. They focus grouped it, and so I think they probably came into something.
They dialed it in. Speaking of chicken nuggets,
yeah. No, were we talking about chicken nuggets?
At some point. I was just happy they found out chicken nuggets were actually chicken parts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
that it wasn't this pink sludge. That was a victory for me.
No, it is pink sludge.
Chicken nuggets are pretty amazing.
It is pink sludge, but then it, I mean, it's not, but that's the chicken all.
Well, it's not. It's
mechanically separated. Yeah.
It was portrayed to be this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not.
I'll still eat it. I'm fine with it.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Taysom Hill, Scott, as we shift to a little bit of a discussion about BYU's former quarterback.
Think he likes chicken nuggets?
I guarantee that Taysom Hill does not eat them.
Yeah.
He's not one of those guys I feel like that does. Does not put everybody follows the example of Tom Brady, right? Living a longer time or playing a longer time, being healthy, and Tom Brady does not endorse the chicken nuggets, so I think a lot of players don't. And Taysom Hill's got this crazy dialed in body, right? But he's now, obviously, he's played a ton of positions in his career in the NFL.
I think if he ate chicken nuggets, he wouldn't get hurt.
You think he'd be a quarterback?
I think he wouldn't get hurt.
So Taysom Hill, I think, gets this reputation of being a guy just like whatever you ask, coach. And I think ultimately that's what it is, because obviously he's doing what he's asked to do. And in fact, a quote that came out kind of reveals a little bit more about, we tend to just go, he's cool to not be the quarterback. He'll be whatever you need him to be. Now, that's true that he wants to be on a roster, but the Saints, Taysom Hill has actually said, yeah, it's the nature of the NFL, about not playing quarterback. He was asked straight up about it at camp. He said, hey, you're not playing quarterback. How does that kind of go for you? He said, well, look, that's the nature of the NFL. It isn't what I want necessarily. It's just what's best for the team, I guess, and I'm good with that. Things aren't up to me. I'm willing to do what I need to do to help us win football games. I love playing, and so it creates opportunities for me and value on the field to compete. But he's taking about a two-thirds, over half of his salary is not going to be coming to him, because he had this sliding scale contract, basically. If he were to be the starting quarterback, he'd make about $22 million, and not being the starting quarterback, he's going to make about $9.5 million, and so that's a big chunk of change, Scott. And that element of not accomplishing the thing that you wanted to get into the league for, that's got to weigh on a guy.
Look,
and I think that this is way more honest than what we kind of portrayed him as, which is, oh, he doesn't care where he plays; he just is finding a place in the NFL. It's like, nah, I wish I was playing quarterback.
See, I call BS on this.
What do you mean?
He says this is what's best for the team. No, it's like, okay, you're not playing quarterback, and you go, well, but I still want to play quarterback. And then you know what the team says? Go join Tim Tebow. Whatever Tim Tebow's doing right now, that's what you need to go and do. And if you want to play tight end, we'll keep you around. But you're gonna get tight end money, and Taysom Hill's window for being a quarterback was open and shut. Done. Okay, not there. But what is there, and what has always been there, and what is very valuable to this team, is his versatility. Like a player like this is invaluable, and it's worth it. Now you kind of have to scratch your head, because he's not viewed as a quarterback. Like, he's just not. And it's sad, because you think of Chase Daniel and the career he's made out of basically being a quarterback that hasn't really done anything. I mean, wouldn't you put more money into a guy like Taysom Hill than a guy like Chase Daniel? I mean, it's just, you know, Chase Daniel's never been a guy that's done much ever, or will ever do much.
Yeah.
And yet there's all that money. But unfortunately for Taysom Hill, he actually was too good at other things. And he wasn't like...
Or fortunately, obviously. I mean,
well, yeah, because you got to remember, this is an undrafted guy, first year on the practice squad. I mean, he's made a heck of a career out of a very limited opportunity.
And look, a new coaching staff.
And he's made the smart moves.
A new coaching staff comes in. A defensive-minded coach comes in, and he goes, I'm just going to cheat off of what Sean Payton did with this guy. I'm going to use him. I'm going to get, when it's third and three, he's going to get us 4.5 yards at least. And you've talked about that. How if there is if you can get 3 yards guaranteed on a third down, you'll pay the guy $9.5 million a year to be able to get it for you.
Well, it's that. It's his ability on special teams. It's this is a guy that has production. I mean, he can score touchdowns. And anybody who can get in the end zone and make big plays like that is a value to you. You know, scoring points is important, and not everybody can do that. And he certainly has that ability. And quite frankly, he still has a long and very productive career ahead of him in a position he's in. It's funny where I actually think Taysom Hill is a better quarterback than Tim Tebow was.
Well, yeah.
I think so too. And, you know, Mike Westhoff said, you know, it wasn't even, I mean, Taysom Hill is just an amazing athlete. And he is. And that bodes well in the NFL. So, you know, but to say, hey, I'm here to do whatever the team needs, it's a little disingenuous.
I think he's saying it going, I think he knows. He's disappointed. He made his disappointment clear, but he's also saying.
I understand, but the reality is he goes, I want to be on the team. I want to get paid whatever I can get paid. And if it's not a quarterback, then I'm going to do whatever.
This is like the guy who wants to be the lead actor, but he's always been a side character with a catchphrase. And everybody goes, nah, I don't want you to be a lead guy. Say that thing that you say that's funny, though.
Right.
Right? And you go, do that thing. Yeah. Do that thing right. You do. That's Taysom Hill. He wants to branch out, sees himself more as a leading man. But I think he's totally embraced the fact that, you know, this is what it is. This gets the paycheck, too. All right, let's take the break. We'll come back. We've got more to go here on Unrivaled, brought to you by G2G, the protein bar with 18 grams of protein, gluten-free, made in small batches, local company right here in Orem, Utah. You want to try it, give it a shot. Refrigerated section at your grocery store near you, and also at Holiday Oil, Maverick, you can find them. They are delish. Go check them out. G2G stands for good to go. You eat one, you're going to be good to go. All right, we'll take the break. More to go around the corner. When we return, got ourselves a little discussion about, it's our college football countdown. That's next. Let's do it. Stay right here with us on Rival Continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.